Last week, I had you open your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, and I brought a message on why Christ died on the cross. Now, I want to follow that message with a message from Romans 3, a couple of verses over in Romans chapter 3, just a very clear and plain on the way of life. That's the title of the message today, the way of life. The way of life, the way of eternal life. And I want you to open your Bibles to the book of Romans, if you will, chapter 3. I feel led of God to look with you at three or four verses here in Romans chapter 3 and see if I can't sound a clear note, just as clear as possible on this subject, the way of eternal life. While you're finding Romans 3, when our Lord was about to go to the cross, he was leaving his disciples. In John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, he instructs them. He gives them many instructions and talks to them about being crucified and leaving them. And the disciples were very depressed and sorrowful. And in John 14, he gathered them about him, and he said, "Now, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? You do believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And when," I know the word "if" is there, but the better word is "when." There's no "if" connected with our Lord's preparation and work and redemption. He says, "And when I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And the Lord Jesus said to him, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And that's what I want to talk about today, where he is and the way there, the way of eternal life. We know he's in glory. We know he's in paradise. We know he's with the Father. We know as our forerunner he has entered within the veil, in the presence of God, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. We know where he is. And Thomas said, "But how can we know the way?" He said, "I'm the way. I am the way." The way of eternal life is not in church ordinance. It's not in baptism and communion and sacraments. The way of eternal life is not in church affiliations. I know there are a lot of different denominations and religious affiliations, but that's not where life is. Life is not in an organization. Eternal life is not in emotionalism. You can get all stirred up and excited, and eternal life is not in feeling. Feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. You must trust the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. The way of life is a person. That's what Christ said. He didn't say, "I'm going to show you the way." He said, "I am the way." He didn't even say, "I'll make a way for you." He said, "I am the way." There's a lot of difference there. Thomas said, "We don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" "Well, I'll show you the way." No, he said, "I am the way." He didn't say, "I'll make a way for you somehow." He said, "I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. If you believe not that I am the way, the truth, the light, the door, the resurrection and the life, you're dying your sin." So turn with me now to Romans 3. Romans 3, 23. And here we're going to talk about the way of life. It's Paul the Apostle sets it forth clearly and plainly, this way of life in Christ Jesus. And he begins where the problem begins. He begins with the problem. He says in verse 23, look at it there, Romans 3:23. He says this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. Were you listening last week when I read that scripture from Ecclesiastes 7:20? There's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. We're sinners. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We're a sinner by birth in Adam. Death passed upon all men. Sin entered the world, and death by sin. So death and sin passed upon all men. We're born in sin. We come forth from the womb speaking lies. Little babies lie. They know how to lie. They don't know how to tell the truth, but they know how to lie. They're selfish, hateful. By nature, we're sinners. By thought, you don't think pure thoughts all the time. By imagination, by word, by deed, the Scripture tells us we're sinners. Our conscience tells us that we're sinners. There are a million things you wish you hadn't done in your lifetime, and things you wish you hadn't said, and places you wish you'd never been, sights you wish you'd never seen, and books you wish you'd never read, people you wish you'd never met, because of our sins. We've sinned and come short of something. What have we come short of? The glory of God. Some farther short than others, but everybody's short of the glory of God. Back years ago, long years ago, in one of the northern cities, I forgot which one, but New York or one of them, you had to be 6 feet tall to be a policeman. A policeman, you could not be a policeman if you're 6 foot tall. And this man wanted to be a policeman, but he was 5'10". It's impossible. He fell short of the goal. It didn't matter if he's 4 foot or 3 foot or 2 foot or 5'11". He's short. And he can't qualify. And you have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It doesn't matter how short you've fallen, it's short. You can't reach the goal. The glory of God is perfection. And we've sinned and come short of perfection. Paul said, "Oh, the exceeding sinfulness of sin." David said, "My sins are ever before me." Peter said on one occasion, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man. You've got no business even associating with me. You've got no business even talking to me. I'm a sinful man. Just depart from me." Thank God for verse 24. Verse 23, that's troublesome, isn't it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Short, short. But verse 24, thank God, listen, "But being justified." Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. That's good news. Let's look at it one word at a time. Being justified. That's past tense. That's past tense. Not, "I'm not going to be saved. I am now. I'm not going to be forgiven. We are now." Being justified. It's already done. Christ said it's finished. It's finished. When He died on the cross, He said it's finished. What's finished? What He came to do. What did He come to do? I told you last week, to suffer for sin, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. It's finished. "I finished the work," He said, "you gave me to do." Finished it. And He went to glory and sat down. A person doesn't sit down unless he's finished his job, finished his task, finished his work. "Whom He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He predestinated, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He glorified." Past tense, every single word. Being justified. Justified. What's that mean? Well, a judge can parole a sinner, a criminal. A judge can pardon a criminal. A judge can probate a criminal, but no judge can justify a criminal. Only God can justify a man. And a man has to be justified to come to God. Only God can justify. You know, if you're pardoned, you're still guilty. If you're paroled, you're still guilty. If you put on probation, you're still guilty. But if you're justified, what's that mean? Not guilty. Not guilty. Justified. Just as if I had never sinned. It means not guilty. With just being justified. I told you last week how we're justified. The just died for the unjust. And he enabled God to be just and justifier of those who believe. Being justified, watch this word, freely. Freely. Salvation's free. Preacher said it doesn't cost anything. It costs the Lord a whole lot. No, it doesn't cost you anything or me anything. But he paid a tremendous price. Scripture says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Oh, what a price. What a price. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He's despised and rejected. He was wounded. He was bruised. He was chastised. He died. As a sheep was led to the slaughter, he made his soul an offering for sin. What a price. You didn't pay it. I didn't pay it. But he paid it. Salvation is by works, not yours, by his work. Not mine, his. Salvation is through death, not my death, his death. Salvation is because of somebody's deeds, holy, righteous deeds, not mine, his. You see that? Being justified freely, freely. Come without money, without price. That's what he said. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and that which satisfies not? Look to me, all the ends of the earth, and be you saved. I'm God. Being justified freely. Watch it now. By his grace. By his grace. It's the gift of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You see, grace. What is grace? By grace, you say. By his grace. Well, grace is sovereign. Has to be sovereign. Has to be by his will, his purpose, his choice. If it's by mine, it's not grace. If I give anything in return, it's not grace. It's got to be grace. Sovereign grace, it's got to be free, no charge. A gift's not a gift if you pay for it. No matter how much you pay for it, it's not a gift. No matter how little you pay for it, it's not a gift. A gift's free. Grace is free. Grace is sovereign. Grace is unchangeable. If I give you something and take it back, that's not grace. The gifts and calling of God are without change. It's free. It's without change. It's complete. If I give you a suit, and don't give you the pants, just the coat, it's not complete. You see, if I give you a car with no wheels on, it's not complete. A gift has to be complete. If you add anything to it, if it lacks anything, if it requires anything on your part, it's not a gift. The Scripture says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him. Being justified freely by his grace. Now watch it. Watch this line. Through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. The word redeemed. Are you familiar with the word redemption and redeem? It really contains three or four words. When you look at the word redeemed, redemption, it indicates, first of all, a captivity. If you redeem something, it's in captivity. We'll take a pawn shop. A man has palmed a beautiful ring. and the rings at the pawn shop. It's in captivity. It's held by another. It's held by another. It's not in your hands. It's not yours. It's his. When you go down to redeem it, you redeem it out of captivity. And Christ Jesus redeemed us out of captivity. We were in captivity to the law. We were in captivity to justice. There's a price on our head. The soul that sinneth must die. And he redeemed us out of captivity from under the curse of the law. And secondly, the word redeem indicates a price paid. There's a cost. If anything is redeemed, it's got to be paid for. It is redeemed, the price must be paid. So we were in captivity to the law. There was a price on our head. He paid it. Jesus paid it all. All the debt I owed, sin left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. He paid a debt he didn't know. And the word redeemed contains another word, deliverance. The man comes down to the pawn shop. He said, I want my ring. Out of captivity. We'll take it out of your hands. Well, you'll have to pay for it. He pays the price. It's his. New ownership. It's delivered. If it's redeemed, it's mine. It no longer belongs to anybody else. You're not your own. Nor Satan's, nor the law's, nor anybody else. You're bought with a price. He said, they're my sheep. I laid down my life for my sheep. And no man can take them out of my hand. My Father gave them to me. And no man's greater than my Father. And no man can take them out of my Father's hand. Captivity. Paid the price. Redeemed the soul. It's his. It'll always be his. And you can argue, once saved, always saved. Once in grace, always in grace. You're wasting your time and mine and everybody else's. If you're redeemed, you're bought out of captivity, you're bought with a price, and you belong to the one who bought you. Now, it all depends on who bought you. If you're bought with water, you're not redeemed. If you're bought with church membership, you're not redeemed. If you did it yourself, you're not redeemed. But he paid the debt. You belong to him. And the Redeemer is Christ Jesus. The great Redeemer left his throne, his glorious throne on high. Oh, what mercy! What love unknown for this sinful man to die. It's finished. Oh, what pleasure do these words afford. Heavenly blessings without measure flow to us through Christ our Lord. You're assured of glory and eternal life because he redeemed you. All right, look at verse 25 now. It says here, being justified freely. By his grace, through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth. Whom God has set forth. This Redeemer, this Savior, this Messiah, this Christ, this Deliverer, God Almighty, the Holy God of heaven and earth, has set him forth. Set him forth. What does that word set forth mean? God set him forth. But I'll tell you, first of all, it means this. It means to foreordain. It means to predestinate. It means to purpose and will before time began. God ordained him. God anointed him. God set him forth. But it means something else. To set something forth or someone forth, to set him forth as he set forth Christ, our Redeemer. It means to place in public view the spotlight on him so that everybody can see. It's like Paul said, this wasn't done in a corner. Set him forth in public view. It means to exhibit him, to show him off in a conspicuous manner. And let me show you how he did that. Behold your God. Several things. And now you listen. Number one, God set forth Christ our Redeemer in the Old Testament promises. In the garden, he said to the woman and to Adam and to Satan, the seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head. the seed of woman. That's a promise. God set him forth right there. In Deuteronomy, he said to Moses, the Lord thy God will raise up one day a prophet like you from the midst of the brethren, and him you shall hear. Abraham, on his way up Mount Moriah with his son Isaac, and Isaac said, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And Abraham replied, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. He'll provide the lamb for himself. He'll provide the lamb himself, and himself, he'll be the lamb. That's a promise. Isaiah 7:14 says, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall be with child. That's a promise. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a son is born, unto us a child is born, a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor of the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. He set him forth all the way through the Old Testament in these promises. And then he set him forth in types and patterns. In Genesis, you have the ark floating on the waters of judgment. That ark is Christ. You have Abraham's ram that he put in the place of Isaac. That's Christ. You have the Passover lamb in Exodus. Christ is our Passover. You have the tabernacle, the mercy seat, the priest, the atonement in Leviticus. You have the brazen serpent lifted up to which the people looked in Numbers. You have the cities of refuge. You have Rahab's scarlet line. That's Christ. You have the kinsman redeemer of Ruth. You have my redeemer in Job. You have my shepherd in Psalm. Throughout the whole Old Testament, God set him forth. Have pictures of Christ all the way through the Old Testament. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the fish, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. Christ our Passover. That rock, Moses smote the rock, water came out. That rock's Christ. That's what Paul wrote in Corinthians. That rock is Christ. God set him forth. Then he set him forth as the man. He was born into this world. He came through the womb of the virgin, born in Bethlehem, and the angels announced his birth to Mary and Joseph. The angels announced his birth to the shepherds. The star, God placed a star over his birthplace. A star marked his birthplace. The Father said, this is my Son. His work declares his Godhead. God set him forth when he was born into this world. Then God set him forth on a cross. And when he died on that cross, darkness covered the land. The earth quaked and shook. The veil in the temple was rent in twain. God raised him from the dead. As he ascended to heaven, the angels once again came down and said, ye men of Galilee, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. And God has set him forth in the Bible and in the gospel. The scriptures bear witness of Christ. To him give all the prophets witness. God set him forth, foreordained him, predestinated him, anointed him, and set him forth in a conspicuous manner, in a public view for everybody to behold, and says, behold your God. And old Pilate that day when he was on trial in front of all those people, Christ was standing there probably with his hands tied behind his back, the crown of thorns on his brow, before all the jeering multitude. And Pilate made this statement, behold, the man. Behold, look, the man, the just man, the holy man, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the only man, the second Adam, the Lord from heaven, the man. God set him forth. God set him forth, listen, to be a propitiation. What does that mean? Propitiation. It's used 2 or 3 times in the Scripture. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation. He is the propitiation of our sins. What does it mean, propitiation? Well, first it means atonement. Reconciliation. Christ is our atonement. He reconciled us to God. He made peace through the blood of his cross. He's our propitiation, our atonement, at one month. Secondly, it means expiator. What is an expiator? It's a person who makes amends for wrongdoing. It's a person who pays a penalty. It's a person who makes satisfaction. That's what he is. Propitiation. Expiator. Expiation. He makes amends. He pays the debt. God doesn't sneak us into heaven. We walk in with Christ. Justified. Price paid. No price on our head. It's been paid. Ransomed sinners. Ransomed sinners. Redeemed. Don't have to sneak in. Don't have to come in the back door. Don't have to make it, barely make it, as somebody said, with the skin of your teeth. No, we go in with the Son of Glory, with the Lord of Hosts. He's our expiator. And then it means mercy seat. The mercy seat was the lid of the ark. What did the lid of the ark do? It covered the broken law. And Christ is our covering. He's our sin offering. God said, I'll meet you at the mercy seat. I'll meet you at the mercy seat. I'll commune with you at the mercy seat. And Christ is our mercy seat. If you want to meet God, you meet him in Christ. If you want God to deal with you in mercy, you want God to deal with you in Christ. Not as you are, but as he is. Watch this now. God has set him forward to be a propitiation, expiator, to make amends, a mercy seat, a covering, a propitiation through faith in his blood. It's Christ Jesus crucified who saves. I know I love to talk about Christ the healer and Christ the man and Christ able to recover the blind and so, but I tell you this. Paul said, we preach Christ and him crucified. It's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Determined to know nothing. We preach Christ and him crucified. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and unto the world. We need a lamb. Abraham needed a lamb. Abel needed a lamb. Israel needed a lamb. You do too. The lamb slain. That's who we need. Abel came by lamb. Israel was delivered by the lamb. And John the Baptist pointed to the lamb. He said, there's the Lamb of God. Taketh away the sin of the world. The way to God, the way to eternal life, Christ said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the light.